and stay around. Good afternoon, welcome, and thank you for listening. You're amongst friends, so stick, be with us. This is Feel Good Wednesday for a Feel Better Wednesday. And come on, coming up, we're talking with, well, he's here now in the studio. My guest this week is Professor Andy Hardy, Chief Executive Officer, University Hospitals, Coventry and Warwickshire NHS Trust. I think that's the right title. It is one of the largest acute trusts in the country, and we're going to talk about the big NHS issues and what it all means for this hospital. Welcome, Andy. Thank you for coming along again.
My pleasure.
Good to see you.
My pleasure. Great to see you again.
It does help when I put your microphone on. Sorry about that. Now, what's going on in the hospital? What's the atmosphere like here in this Coventry hospital, you think?
Well, right now, I think you just, the key word there is Coventry. In this Coventry hospital, people are feeling pretty good about life, and that's nothing to do with me. That's to do with the fabulous fact that Coventry City have just been promoted to Premiership. And of course, that's, you know, so many people here, the thousands of people who work on this site are big fans of Coventry City. And actually, that makes me, it makes me smile because only a few weeks ago, about 6-7 weeks ago now, for the first time I met to Doug King, the chairman of Coventry City, and we got talking. And I did say to him at that point, obviously, it wasn't known they were going to be promoted. I said, please keep winning because you can do more for the morale of my colleagues than I ever can. And that's been the case. And I don't know whether you know that. On the night they actually did get promotion, which was against Blackburn, we lit the front of the hospital sky blue, put the badge on.
I saw the pictures.
That went incredibly well, and social media picked that up all over the country, actually. And the recognition that they're a big part of the city, as we are. Yeah. So it does affect morale, but actually I should go back. You know, generally morale, you know, morale is good here. In the most recent staff survey, which was published back on the 12th of March, we saw increases in morale levels. We know there's some challenges every day, and some days are really tough for colleagues. But overall, morale's pretty good.
Great. And those tough days, by what, people not able to get in, doing more than they have to do because of staff shortages?
Well, just, you know, it's incredibly challenging here, isn't it? You know, we have to deal with people, you know, some of their sickest and most challenging times of their life. Things don't always go right in healthcare.
Yeah.
That's the very nature of healthcare.
Yep.
Sadly, I have to say, abuse of our colleagues from patients and visitors is increasing, as it is across the NHS. And that can really add to stress to individuals.
I can believe that. That's terrible.
It's shocking, but it's true. And talking to colleagues around the whole country, that seems to be an issue at the moment.
It's coming up in so many different places as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's historically, you think it might be in the emergency department, but it's in all clinical areas now.
Good grief. That's awful. Well, how do you control it?
Well, we're very clear that we will not accept abuse of colleagues, and if necessary, we will take the correct actions against such individuals.
Good, good. Right, Andy, let's talk about the 10-year plan, which was published July last year.
Yep.
So we're not even 12 months into it. But rather than say, well, what happened about those 12 months? What's happened through that 9 months or whatever it is, and into 26, 27? Okay. What are the big changes around here in this hospital?
Well, I mean, some of the biggest changes we were sort of leading actually are outside the hospital.
Yep.
So one of the key things that was written throughout the 10-year plan, so yeah, you're right, that came out 5th of July last year on the NHS's birthday, was wherever possible, thinking about neighbourhood health. And what we mean by that is, where appropriate, what care can be provided to the population in their own homes or in their local communities, so people only come into hospital if they really absolutely have to. And so I'm really pleased that in the last few months we've been identified in Coventry as one of the 43 pioneer sites for neighbourhood health in the whole of the country, in recognition of some of the fabulous work that colleagues are doing out in the community. That stems back in July 24, we were joined by Coventry Community Services. So we're seeing some really good integrated care there, which means people, say, they're being looked after in their own homes, they're not coming, so many people coming through the emergency department on that basis, and we can then discharge people quicker once they're ready to go. So that's been a big push. Then within the hospital, we've really focused on bringing waiting times down. And there's still the backlog from the pandemic, and that might seem a long time ago, it is, but it had a huge effect. I'm pleased to say now that we're down to less than 2,000 people now waiting over 52 weeks or a year for the operation, etc. We want to keep working on that and pushing that down. In fact, I had meetings about that this morning. So we've been doing a lot of work around that. But also then thinking about some of the specialist services we provide. We've seen further investment in robotic surgery, new technologies for cancer care. And it's a fascinating, interesting time for cancer care in this country. lots of new technologies, lots of new methods of treatment are coming out, and I'm really pleased that we're at the forefront of that. We've just finished the sort of performance and financial year of the NHS end of March, and as an organisation, we've hit all the major cancer targets. That's really important for the cancer care, the early diagnose, the early treat, the better the outcomes, and that's what we're aiming for.
That's good. Cancer care seems to have a block, though, in terms of the number of cancers covered, what people cover by when they've got cancer, has been about the same level for the years. People actually who are diagnosed ahead.
So we do know that cancer diagnoses are increasing almost exponentially. And that is principally for two reasons. One, we're better at diagnosing things.
Yep.
And two, we're getting an older and older population, and more people are affected by cancer as we get older. And it is a sad but true fact that, you know, in our lifetimes, one in two of us will be affected by cancer of some sort. But the advances in cancer care and the advances in early diagnosis means that, A, we can treat these things, and the survival rates at 5 years are better than they've ever been. But also for some cancers, it will become almost like a lifelong condition in the same way as we think around diabetes, etc. We'll manage those conditions. And so we're still lagging behind some countries at some cancer care in certain cancer sites. But actually, you know, on top of the NHS plan you've talked about, which was published in July last year, on February the 4th this year, a national cancer plan was published. We're working very closely to make sure we can achieve that as well. But I say key to that is early diagnosis. Some great news, I should also say, which is coming up in the next 12 months, we'll be opening our community diagnostic centre right in the centre of Coventry, and the old Comwarrick site, for those people who can remember, the Peabody Hospital site. And that will enable us to do, we think, up to another 44,000 scans a year. Again, helping us diagnose cancer and other diseases much earlier, much quicker. It's in part of the one of the most deprived parts of Coventry, so hopefully some of those people who struggle to get here onto University Hospital site will have it on their doorstep.
Excellent.
So some great advances.
Good. Yep. Well, that's all good news and going in the right direction.
Absolutely.
One of the things in the 10-year plan was this issue about 2% productivity improvement everywhere. How do you measure productivity in a hospital?
So, yeah, productivity in the NHS is a it's a big issue right now, and it has been since before the pandemic. On one level, it's as simple as, you know, looking at how many treatments, the quality of the, and outcome of those treatments compared to the resource that goes in terms of pounds, shilling, pence, how many people are employed, etc. The NHS has a budget bigger than it's ever had before, £220 billion. If we look at the productivity measures of the NHS across the whole of the NHS, and this is true internationally actually, we're less productive than we were prior to the pandemic. Many things changed because of the pandemic, including the way staffing levels are looked at, etc. We have more staff in the NHS than we've ever had before. That's true of this hospital too. But those increases in staffing levels haven't necessarily been matched by increasing activity. But I think that's to simplify it too much. We need to think about the outcomes of care, not just how many people are seen and how quickly they're seen. And so actually we are becoming more sophisticated looking at what that productivity means. But actually in the year that's just been gone through, we saw productivity increases of greater than 2% across the NHS. That's true of this organisation as well. And that outstripped the economy as a whole. So that's back to starting to get back to where we were, but there's still quite a lot of work to go for us.
Well, good news.
This is Coventry Hospital Radio.
And I have Andy Hardy still with me. He hasn't walked out, which is just as well. And we're talking about all things National Health Service and particularly this hospital. And we talked about aspects of the 10-year plan. Let's move on and talk about the waiting time for treatments, Andy, if we could. What's the position now? Because you had a target for March, which was something in the order of, what, 60%?
Yeah, the target we were given was that 60% of patients will be treated within 18 weeks. We actually really closely got to it, but just missed it. We actually achieved just about 59.5%.
Ah,
so it's, yeah, it's close, but not close enough sort of thing, but really close to that. And actually, we're seeing improvements. So we're looking at another 5% improvement this year on that. Ultimately, the aim is to get back to what is the constitutional standard of 92% of people seen in 18 weeks. That has not been achieved, though, for over 10 years in the NHS. But that is the aim within the next within this Parliament. So that's what we're going for.
Excellent. Just in terms of politics around, I mean, with the impact of what might happen, given the results of the election, the local elections, given area the turmoil that might start or not, how will that affect?
So on one level, I take the view that, you know, I and my colleagues are public servants, and we're here to serve the public. There are some clear targets, and we'll continue to be focused on doing the right thing for our patients, which actually most of the targets reflect that. We don't want people waiting longer than they have to for any kind of procedure or for cancer care, which we touched upon earlier. And yeah, well, we could well see some changes at a national level as a consequence of what goes on in local elections in the coming weeks. But ultimately, I'm sure we'll still have a Labour government, and their manifesto is very clear what they expect from the NHS, and that's what we're looking to do.
It'd be unlikely they would ditch a 10-year health plan.
Absolutely, it's here to stay.
Yeah. Just talking a bit more about the cancer service, particularly this week's news about a cancer jab taking time out, going from, I don't know, 90 minutes or more for intravenous feeding to a quick jab and out, almost. How's that going to impact on things?
Yeah, that's the launch, which has got national media interest over the last 48 hours, looking at basically an injection of an immunotherapy, which previously took a transfusion, as you say, up to 90 minutes, but now is literally the equivalent of having, let's say, a COVID jab or a flu jab, which is fabulous for those patients who need that, in terms of the time they need to spend in hospital on a frequent basis. And as I mentioned earlier, there are so many advances at the moment in cancer care and in different cancer treatments. And I'm really pleased that we're remaining at the leading edge of those here in Coventry in our cancer centre. Whether that be in immunotherapy, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, combinations of both of those. And that is seeing greater lengthy lives for people who have suffered from cancer, but also very importantly for those people who are undergoing treatment for cancer, less side effects.
Yeah,
and we all know about those.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing I was going to ask you about was, with all the conflict going on in the Middle East and all the problems of supply, particularly drugs, the pharmacies are saying they can't get drugs. Is that an issue that's going to affect the hospital here?
It hasn't to date. I can't guarantee that it won't. Because you've said certainly high street pharmacies have started to talk about some supply chain challenges already. The issue is particularly around, not that certain drugs come from the Middle East, but some of the ingredients that go into the drugs are challenged in the same way that oil is, as we hear about every day. So it's not a problem at the moment. Can't guarantee that it won't, but we keep an eye on it and also work with national colleagues to see what supply chains are available, which are not via the Middle East.
Yeah, okay, right. And what's, there's power cuts have been trailed across the press as well. I mean, they go to the extreme on these things, but just because they've raised it, I'm going to raise it. If there's a power cut here, what happens?
If we had a power cut here, we are covered by generators. We have our business continuity plans in place for that.
Good. And the generators are powered by?
I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
Probably oil.
Possibly.
But that puts the chain quite a lot.
And also, of course, we have protected electricity supplies.
I'm going to say you'd be on a very protected circuit.
Yep.
I used to live in a house that was near a hospital back in Peterborough days, and that was protected. With, we're lucky here. Good, right. And what's the worst thing that you dream of, this nightmare for you, that could happen with this hospital?
Gosh, that's a good question, because it's kind of a theme. I do get asked sometimes, do I have sleepless nights?
And I'm
pleased that I don't, actually, because that's just the type of thing. Not that I don't care, because I care immensely about this organisation.
I know you do.
But I think to do my job, if you were the kind of person who had sleepless nights, you would never sleep. There's always challenges in an organisation that's complex. In fact, I reread recently where the famous management guru, Peter Drucker, said that hospitals are the most complex organisations in the world because every interaction is a human interaction. I have faith in both the people who work here and the systems we wrap around them, good governance. And even when things go wrong, we look to learn from them quickly and make sure they don't happen again.
Brilliant. Good. Well, all everybody will be saying, listen to this, keep doing it, Gandhi, keep doing it. Great. Thank you very much for coming in this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, anytime.
Appreciate you coming in as you do, and look forward to seeing you next time. And, well, just thanks again. Take care.